Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of TriCatch, sponsored by EI2. My name is Sydney Andreessen. I am an application developer here at Farm Credit Services of America, and I will be your host today on this episode of a little series that we're calling Back to School, where we are featuring some teammates of ours here at FCSA who are continuing their education and taking the chance to talk about their personal experiences through those endeavors and how they fit into their lives, both personally and professionally. So here today I have with me Jane, and I'll give you a chance to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi there. My name is Jane McComas, and I am a portfolio management analyst here at Farm Credit, and I've been here about 2 years, I think.
Awesome. And can you introduce for us what program you're in and how far along you are in it?
Sure. So I have actually completed my program, but I did the MBA program, the Master's of Business Administration at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. And I finished it about a year ago this time. It was last May when I finished.
Awesome. That's great. I know that's a very popular program for people who are going back to school and can provide a lot of advantage back to the business as well, who might be supporting you going back. And I know that we have a great tuition assistance program here as well. First, can you start just giving us an intro of how you chose the program and chose it at the time in your life that you did?
Sure. So I am over 40. Let's just start there. And so I'm married and I have two daughters. I have one in high school and one in grade school. And I had always wanted to go back to school and get my master's, and just one thing after the next as life goes, kept kind of pushing that program to the back burner. And finally, I decided I wanted to get it done before my oldest daughter was a senior in high school so that I could enjoy her senior year and help her get ready for college herself. So when I went looking for programs online, or went looking for a program, period, I initially thought I was going to get a degree in economics. I have a bachelor's degree in agribusiness and another one in agricultural economics, both from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. And I wanted to kind of further deepen that education I have in economics. So when I went to UNO, that's actually what I applied into as far as programs, and I was accepted. And as I started looking at the program, it became very apparent that that program was not really geared for working professionals. Mm-hmm. It was expected that many of the classes would be during the day, and that didn't really work great for my work life. So then I looked at the MBA program, which is set up very much with the idea of working professionals in mind. So UNO has 12 core classes that are part of the MBA program, and then you take three credit electives. So those 12 core classes, they actually break up into two credit classes, and they have two sessions per semester. Okay, so you could take two classes during the semester. One would be during the first half, the other one would be during the second half, and you would knock out four credits, for example. Or you could stack, you could take more, as many as you want, really. Mm-hmm. But that was how I was able to get my program done in 21 months.
All right, rapid pace.
So it went really fast. Yeah. So I did, four semesters, and I did a J term, and I did two summer sessions. So I was moving through mine really fast. And I would say that there were a lot of other kind of short paths you could take that were emphasis on whether it was data analytics, political science, finance, accounting, et cetera. They had some other emphasis programs you could do. For me, those classes aren't always offered every term. And so the way that they were kind of laying out, it wasn't really going to work for me to follow that. So I just stayed on the regular MBA path, and that worked really well for me.
Gotcha. Awesome. I'm curious what your experience was with the J term. Like, to my knowledge, it's a relatively new thing, at least around here. And I never did it. in my academic career. But was that like a 3 week?
So it's one? A 3 week term that is between the winter, like between the fall, like they get out for Christmas break and then they come back in January, and it's a 3 week term before the spring semester starts. I was really hesitant about doing the J term, especially working, you know, 40, 50 hours a week, right, and then to cram a full-time class. Because the reviews I had heard from other people were like, you need to pretty much plan on spending all of your time during those 3 weeks doing that. And so I actually emailed a professor of the course that I was going to take and asked him just how much work we were talking here. And he was super great. He said, what we're going to do is, the course I took was the psychology of investing. And he basically had a book that we were going to read. So he let me know what that book was back in the beginning of December. So I had the book read before the term started. And then each week we basically were journaling and writing as a class and discussing. So that's really what most of the work was. So it wasn't terrible.
Okay.
But I would say that if you are interested in doing that, absolutely reach out to the professor and make sure that you are fully aware of what the expectations of the syllabus is going to be.
You're preparing ahead of time. So did you have like a standard 2-3 week break then after when would have the fall session ended? Were you preparing or was that all on top of your other work?
So the December, you know, it ends, that semester ends usually around like the 7th or something, 7th or 10th of the year, of December. And so I started reading, I think, maybe like the second or third week of December. It wasn't a terribly big book. It was like a paperback kind of thing. So so I was reading pretty much over the holidays, and I actually, that one I might have actually bought like audio and listened to it.
Gotcha.
Which is a huge tip for grad school, audio. Anything you can do in audio, do it.
I like to hear how you know, you make it work for what you need to fit it into your life so you can get it done. That's awesome. What are some of your favorite aspects of the program besides how you could, you know, get that those responses from the professors and work it in a general sense?
I love the flexibility of it. I loved just going back to school. I was super excited. I was a little bit like a kid in a candy shop. I'm a lifelong learner. So I was so excited to go back to college. I was a little bit nervous because I was over 40. But it was great because there were many other people. The age range were people who had just finished their undergrad to people who were actually much older than I was, surprisingly. And so that was a really neat mix of people and experiences. I really enjoyed some of the people who had just finished school or who were very early into their career. Was able to offer them a lot of advice on what to do with their career, how to look at problems we were solving, things for them to kind of consider. So that was an interesting experience as well. I enjoyed the professors that we had in class probably the most. I know everybody loves the flexibility of an online program, and it is great, and you can knock out a lot of work very fast, but I would say I probably got the most out of the classes where I was sitting in front of a professor working on group problems together, because part of any master's program, the reason you're there is to network and make connections in your industry and with other people who are in the same boat that you're in, and learn from one another. It's really difficult, as we all know now, right? We all Zoom, we all work online, we all communicate with a lot of people in the same company that we've never met, right? Oh, just reach out to so-and-so. How many times do we hear this? Mm-hmm. Well, this is very similar. Like when you're put into a work project with people you've never met, and the way it's going, you're never going to meet them. And that's really difficult in a master's program when you're really trying to dig in deep and solve complex problems. Especially things like cost accounting problems when you look at an entire business and they want to add a new line of work. And I mean, that takes conversation. It takes work. So, and when you have young people who have never worked out in the world before, trying to fold them in and make it, that was difficult to do online, I will admit. So I probably enjoyed the classes in person the most.
Awesome. Can you talk a little bit more about those like group projects that you're doing and working with people from all these different backgrounds, like you said, different, you know, different companies, different parts of life, whether they're the, you know, so-called traditional students right out of their bachelor's or coming back and so forth?
Sure. So in an MBA program, it is all group project. I don't know that I had a class that wasn't. At least one group project, if not many. And sometimes you'd be assigned partners. Sometimes you just had to find them. Sometimes it was a new group every week, and you had to put together an entire project and presentation every week. So it was a lot of group project work. I would say that if you're planning on doing an MBA program and you are not accustomed to doing a lot of team project work, that I would maybe take a course or do at least do some reading on great standard operating procedures for team projects, because there's so much of it and so few people are really good at it. So if you can step into those projects and say, okay, like if nobody else wants to lead and no one will, you can easily step forward and say, here's a plan I have to knock out this project. And people are more than happy to follow your plan because you've done the work for them. And there were so many tips and tricks I picked up along the way. Things like buying pre-made PowerPoint templates. I actually belonged to a website that it was a subscription, and you could Google airlines, and it would have an entire slide deck of like 30 slides with phenomenal photography and graphics and all of the things laid out. And so we did, my finance class, my group did a presentation on Southwest Airlines. And so I was like, boom, here's the slide deck. Just plug in the stuff, because slide decks take forever.
Yes.
So if you can, it was $10 a month. So look for something like that. That's a great tip, to have those slide decks in your pocket. And then there's a lot of them where you have to record a video and then submit it, upload it, right? And what I learned in PowerPoint was that you can voice record for just each slide versus one continuous recording.
Take your little takes.
Yeah. So you just take your little, you record for that slide, and then PowerPoint stitches it together for you.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's so amazing. And then you can go back and edit that one slide, or if you've got to dump a new slide in, et cetera, you just change the voice to go with it. And so then you can have other people put their part in.
Right.
So you don't have to get together and record a Zoom and then figure out how to upload that gigantic file somewhere, which is a massive pain. So just recording through PowerPoint made all the difference in the world.
We could do a whole episode from all of your tips.
There was so many. There were, and just even, you know, trying to find, like when you pick projects, if somebody, anyone in the group has any experience with any of the topics, pick it. Because that person will say, I know where to go to get information. And that saves you a ton of time, because you're not really there to become great research people. You're there to digest and analyze information and kick out business ideas and leadership and thought leadership on all these things. So any way that you can save the time, because really if you're doing an online program, you're doing it because you don't have a lot of time. So any way that you can save time, that's great. That's like the audio things. Anything that we had in a PDF, I had a couple of different apps that would turn PDF into audio, so I could listen to them while I'm driving, while I'm running, while I'm whatever. And even I found, too, that if I was listening to the audio while I was reading, kind of like captions in reverse, it was much easier to absorb, and I remembered a lot more of it. The other thing I thought was really fantastic was the dictate button on Word. A lot of Microsoft, it's a button, it's called Dictate, and it's basically voice to text. I wrote a 15-page paper using it.
Oh, my god!
It took me a third of the time. I mean, you can go back and edit and whatever, right? But it's because if you're a person, especially some people can think and say exactly what they want.
Right.
But when they go to write it, it's difficult.
Right.
I probably write better than I talk, actually. But for me,
to get the thoughts on the page is a huge first step.
That's half of it. And then the editing is just, you just go back and... So there were a lot of little things I found along the way to help me kind of save a lot of time.
That's awesome. These are great tips. Like, wish I wasn't almost done so that I could use them in my own program. right. Are there any like favorite project? Is there a single favorite project you want to hone in on here?
Yeah. So at the end of your program, the last class you'll take is a capstone project. And the way that UNO sets it up is they go out into the public, whether it's a private company, a public company, maybe it's a project through the university, and they find businesses that need help solving a problem. So maybe you're looking to sell your company and you need information on how to set up your company to sell it, you know, to prepare it for sale. Mm-hmm. Or the project that I was given, my group and I were given, was it was a lifelong learner program that UNO was in the process of trying to decide what they were going to do with it, whether they were going to ditch it, if they were going to keep it, if they were going to grow it. They also were looking at the program at Lincoln, which is called OLLI, and that's a lifelong learner program, and it's designed for people who are really kind of like that retirement age or getting close to retirement, and it's a wide variety of classes, et cetera. So UNO's problem was, what do we do? We're kind of in this weird space. This program kind of keeps getting kicked around from one department to another. Nobody's really championing it. What do we do? So my team kind of took that project, and we went through a whole bunch of other universities to see what they were doing with their lifelong learner programs. We saw what OLLI was doing. We set up and did a bunch of research, like demographically, who's living around UNO, which is great because there's a lot of people who were probably in that early retirement age category for them. We looked at revenue streams for it. We looked at all kinds of pieces. And so we brought back all that research. We brought back some conclusions, some advice, some things that we thought they should do. We definitely thought they should fold into OLLI because OLLI was kind of like wanting to come to Omaha anyway. Mm-hmm. And we're like, these guys are knocking on your back door. You should probably be friends. So that was our advice. And so that was really a great project to kind of bring all these group project skills together that we had to help the university solve a business problem that they had and to kind of help expand what they were doing.
That's awesome. Creating awesome opportunities. And I know you said that you're done with the program. So have you heard, you know, sounded like it ended kind of on here's our advice from all of our research. Have you heard anything about where they went with that afterwards?
No. No, I haven't heard what they've done. I've kind of been, like, I always kind of keep one eye out, waiting to get a UNO email saying, mm-hmm. hey, join our lifelong learner program. Right. But I would say, too, they were kind of in a place trying to figure out administratively and budget-wise that I think it's going to take a little while to get those pieces mm-hmm. parked where they like them
right.
before then they start going yeah. public.
Especially if they have the transition, I suppose, from Lincoln to Omaha.
Yeah, yeah. So trying to fold some of that in because I think the advice was, you know, do some of the OLLI things, keep doing some of your own things. And so trying to figure out how those pieces were going to work together, I think was probably going to take a little while. So it might be a while before we see it, but.
That'd be awesome though. Get yeah. the community involved in some lifelong learning. All right, so awesome discussion so far. Let's get into a little bit of how have you applied your learnings, hard skills, soft skills, whatever, from this program to your role to wrap this out.
So when I started my program, I had kind of a wide variety of professional experience. I have a resume that is not linear. It just kind of bing-bangs all over the place. I'm a person who says yes to a lot of things. And so I have been a corporate economist. I have owned my own business. I've done consulting. I'm mostly in the ag industry, some outside of the ag industry, some more kind of a commercial aspect. And for me, my goal was to get back into ag and to kind of elevate the skill set that I already had and formalize it and bring it to a place where a larger corporation would recognize it. As companies get big, it gets difficult for them to hone in on a resume and see really where the value is. Mm-hmm. If it's not this really pretty straight linear path that they can go, oh, you have this long history and progression of corporate titles.
Yes.
If you're outside of that, they go, oh, we don't really know what to do with you. And yeah, you're really smart and great, and you've done all these great things, but we don't know what it means.
We're not finding the keywords.
Yeah. So my goal was to kind of help wrap all of that business experience that I had into a nice little package, put a nice little MBA bow on top of it, so that corporate America would go, oh, yeah, okay, we know what to do with you now. You've got an MBA. That's really what my goal was to help me push into the job that I wanted. And it worked. Some people will tell you that it won't work. Some will. I don't know. For me, it worked. But that was also why I switched, you know, from an economics to an MBA. If I really wanted to go be a corporate economist again, which would probably look more like chief economist type of path, I probably would have taken the time and gone for the degree in economics. But that means a salary, a cutback in pay, because I would have been working a lot less, et cetera. So the MBA part of it, as I sit here at Farm Credit is fantastic in the way that it has great culture. It puts a lot of emphasis on leadership. It puts a lot of emphasis on group work. I mean, most things in this company happen in a conference room. And so to have the ability to sit in a group and eloquently explain what it is that you're trying to do or the point you're trying to get across or the strategy you're trying to change or the people you're trying to educate, that program really kind of, and it's all programs, right? They will help you practice polishing how you do this, right? And how you sell things and how you bring it to fruition, how you work with others. I mean, all that group project work, I always joke because I always say the first thing it taught me to do was how to lead a group project without ever meeting anyone, which I totally can do now. But it also helped me understand, you know, people typically just don't want to lead a project. Seldom do people raise their hand. And so if you have that experience, you're like, oh, I got this. Not a big deal. We're going to kick this out and it's going to be nothing. So that's the difference versus before that, you know, I might have been sitting there going, ah, oh, yeah, I can do this. But geez, it's going to be a lot of work. And so it helps you just refine that ability to really drive home those projects in a quick, efficient manner. I would say the other real skill was probably a little bit more on that soft skill side. I cut my corporate teeth in the grain business and grain trading, which is like stock trading for kids, country kids. And we, it's a pretty aggressive, pretty volatile, it's a pretty high, tense, stressful kind of environment. And so my natural demeanor was like, okay, let's go. Let's get this done. Mm-hmm. Money, da, 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 you know, drive. Aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. And Farm Credit is not like that. And so I always joke, I'm like, had I tried to come here right out of college or right after my first career, I probably would have never made it. But because over years, the experiences that I've gained, programs like the MBA, which just kind of helps you polish that level of professionalism that you need, helps you not to hit the panic button as soon as you see something go wrong, brings that steady, calm, kind of peaceful demeanor too, because you know you've got it, right? In the back of your head, you're like, I got this. I can do this. That's really what it kind of brings to you, that level of confidence.
Confidence and comfort gets you over that first big hump and then easy going.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, we've had a great discussion. I love hearing about how the program worked for you and all of your awesome tips and fun projects. And we are going to wrap this episode of Back to School up here. So thank you very much, Jane. And that wraps up today's episode of Try Catch. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.